So, my boy, when I had made all this clear to myself, I at once decided to make use of this error of theirs for the accomplishment of my aim. Here in Pearl Land, just as in the city of Gob, I first invented an addition to their religious teaching, and then began to spread this invention of mine by every possible means. I spread the idea that the most sacred prana, of which our divine teacher Saint Buddha had spoken, is already present not only in us men, but in all beings that arise and exist on our planet Earth. I said that a particle of that most great all-embracing, the most sacred prana, settles from the moment of its arising in every form of being on every scale, whether breeding on the surface of the planet, in its waters, or in the atmosphere. I regret to have to say here, my boy, that more than once I was constrained to emphasize that these words came from the lips of Saint Buddha himself. Several beings of that country with whom I had established friendly relations, and who were the first I persuaded to accept my invention, believed in it immediately, without question, and from then on very effectively helped me, unconsciously of course, to spread this invention of mine. Here too my friends went about zealously and passionately, proving to their fellows that this was just so and could not possibly be otherwise. In short, my second invention brought about the desired results in Pearl Land more rapidly than I could have expected. Owing simply to my invention, your favorites so changed their essence relations with beings of other forms that they not only ceased to destroy their existence for their famous sacrificial offerings, but even began very sincerely with the whole of their being to regard them as beings like themselves. If only they had stopped at this point, all would have been well. But here, just as in the country of Maralplacy, they soon fell into their habit of wiseacring and began to manifest many comical aspects of their havat vyarnone. For instance, within a few of their months after I began spreading my invention, at almost every step, you could see, when strolling down the streets in the city of Kayaman, beings walking on what are called stilts. And they walked on stilts so as not to risk crushing some insect or other, a little being just like themselves, as they now believed. Many were afraid to drink water that had not been freshly drawn from a spring or stream, fearing that tiny beings might have fallen into it, and that without seeing them, they would unwittingly swallow these poor little creatures like themselves. Many took the precaution of wearing what are called veils, lest the poor little beings existing in the air should accidentally enter their mouths or noses, and so on and so forth. From that time on in the city of Kayaman and its outskirts, and throughout Pearl Land, societies began to spring up whose aim was to protect defenseless beings of various forms, both those existing among them and those they called wild. In all these societies, there were rules prohibiting not only the destruction of these beings for sacrificial offerings, but also the use of their planetary bodies for first being food. Eh, my boy, owing to the strangeness of their psyche, the intentional suffering and conscious labor specially actualized for them by that sacred individual, Saint Buddha, who had been coated with a planetary presence like their own, have ever since hovered in vain over this planet, without producing any of the real results that could have been lawfully expected. But they have engendered only all kinds of pseudo-teachings, like those existing there today, bearing the names of occultism, theosophy, spiritualism, psychoanalysis, and so on, which now as before are simply means for obscuring their psyche, already obscured enough without this. Needless to say, of the truths indicated by Saint Buddha himself, absolutely nothing has survived and reached the beings of the present time. Half of one of the words he used did, however, manage to reach the contemporary beings of that unparalleled planet. And this half word reached them in the following way. Among other things, Saint Buddha explained to the beings of Pearl Land how and in what part of the bodies of their ancestors the famous organ Kundabuffa had been implanted. He told them that the angel Luisos had by a special means made this organ grow at the lower extremity of that brain that nature had placed in their ancestors, as well as in them, along the back, in what is called the spinal column. Saint Buddha added, as I also made clear, that although the properties of this organ had been entirely destroyed in their ancestors, its material formation had remained at the lower extremity of this brain, and having been transmitted from generation to generation, had also reached them. But this material formation, he said, now has no significance whatsoever, and can be completely destroyed in the course of time, if your being existence proceeds as is becoming to three-centered beings. However, when they began wiseacring and inventing all sorts of forms of their famous suffering, they also played one of their usual tricks with the name of this organ. To begin with, as the root of the second half of this name happened to coincide with a word that in the language of that time meant reflection, and as they had thought up a means for destroying this material formation rapidly, and not in the course of time as Saint Buddha had advised them, they also wiseacred about this word with their bobtailed reason, ruminating as follows. Of course, when this organ was in action, its name must have contained the root of the word for reflection. But since we are destroying even its material basis, the name should now end with a word whose root means former. And as the word for former in their language was then pronounced Lina, they changed the second half of this name, and instead of Kundabuffa, they obtained the word Kundalina. Thus it was that half of the word Kundabuffa survived, and passing down from generation to generation, finally reached your contemporary favorites, accompanied, of course, by 1,001 different explanations. Even the present-day learned beings have a name made up of abstruse Latin roots for that part of the spinal marrow. Today, the whole of so-called Hindu philosophy is based on this famous Kundalina, and around the word itself exist thousands of occult sciences, secret and revealed, which explain absolutely nothing. And as for the way in which the significance of that part of the spinal marrow is defined by contemporary terrestrial beings, learned in what are called the exact sciences, that, my dear boy, is a profound mystery. And it became a mystery because several centuries ago, this definition suddenly, without rhyme or reason, entered the favorite mole of the famous Scheherazade, which that incomparable Arabian fantasist chanced to have on the right side of her adorable navel. And there, this scientific explanation has been preserved intact down to the present day. When I was quite convinced that I had succeeded so easily in destroying, perhaps for a long time, that terrible practice of sacrificial offerings among the beings of this group, I decided to stay in Pearl Land no longer, but to return to the Sea of Beneficence and rejoin our ship occasion. We were just ready to leave when the idea suddenly occurred to me not to return to the Sea of Beneficence by the way we had come, but by another route quite unusual for those days. That is to say, I decided to return through the region later called Tibet.